Lord, we bless your name. We thank you. You are so good. You are so kind, and there is none like you. We honor your holy name. Father, even as I begin to teach, I pray, Holy Spirit, that touch our hearts, that we hear and receive your word tonight. In Jesus' name, O God, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So we have been learning and looking at the topic of the heart of man. It's been an amazing series. The first meeting, we just discussed the things that you find in the heart. The second meeting, we invited Brother Michael, a friend of mine. He taught us on how to deal with an overwhelmed heart. And I think people had questions. They asked, and the man of God answered those questions. The meeting after that, we had a minister of the gospel, Minister Samuel, who taught us on things that turn us away from God, or things that turn our hearts away from God, and how to deal with those things. So we learned, and these recordings that are available, by the way, I usually send these recordings in the group. So this is why I'm saying that I want us to be paying attention to the group, because usually we pass on a lot of information and we send the recordings all the time. And then last week we looked at the prodigal son. Praise the Lord. Okay, and now tonight we want to look at guarding our hearts. So you're all welcome to tonight's meeting. I'm so happy to have you all here. So we're looking at guarding our hearts. But of course, before I share my screen, Lizzie, yes. Oh, look at you. Lizzie's in the meeting. Yo, everybody just say hi, Lizzie. She was struggling to join the meeting because of the Zoom. But you see, the Zoom repented, because the Zoom has to listen to sons of God. Hi, Lizzie. I'm so glad and happy to see you in the meeting. Y'all just say hi to Lizzie. Make a few welcome. She's a member who joined not too long ago. Lizzie, it's so good to have you here in the meeting tonight. Also say hi to Lydia. Lydia, I see you. I love the commitment. I'm so happy to be that you are here. So just say hi to Lizzie. Say hi to Lydia. I'm so glad that you guys made the meeting tonight. Happy to have you in the meeting tonight. Okay, this is it. Let's get right into it, folks. No, I'm asking a question. What am I saying? I'm asking a question, yes. So as you guys are greeting people, I want to ask a question. What do you think it means to guard your heart before I start teaching? Now, because none of you can unmute, I would love for you to type it and try be quick. Yeah, try be quick with the typing. And please don't type something so long, like it's a whole long story. Unless you are quick at typing, right? So the question is, what do you think it means to guard your heart? What does it mean to you? And don't say things like to protect, honestly speaking. Like, it's a very vague answer if you say to protect, because obviously we know it's to protect, but what does that really mean to you, right? So I'm just trying to get us to think a certain way, because when you're studying the Bible, I don't know if you're like me, I really like to know what things mean. Like, for those of you who are leaders, that's why I ask, what do you mean? Because I really want to know, because sometimes as believers, we can have these little catchphrases. You know how people say, you greet them, how are you? And the response is, I'm well by the grace of God. What does that mean, actually, that you are well by the grace of God? You know what I mean, right? So I really want to know that, why are we using the words that we are using? Do we actually understand what they mean? And, you know, stuff like that. Dr. Given, thank you. He says, to keep away from things that contaminate you. Dr. Given, this is a very beautiful answer. Miss Sweeney says, to make boundaries. Oh, this is very beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, anybody else? What does it mean to guard your heart? Let's type and interact a bit. I want to know which way you are leaning towards, just so that I can borrow your mind as well, right? Yes, anybody else commenting? Let's go, IBS. Let's see what's on your mind. There's no wrong answer. I just want to encourage participation. Miss Marin Comer mentions to be able to overcome temptation. Thank you so much. I love it. I love it to be able to overcome temptation. Okay, beautiful. Anybody else? Miss Juana. Hey, Juana, thank you for joining. I'm so happy you're here. Juana says to be aware of what enters and dwells in your heart and protect your innermost being. Juana, you're speaking from experience. This is an experiential comment. I love it. I love it. I love it. Anybody else? These are very beautiful comments, by the way. I really love it when we interact. Miss Itala, this is beautiful. There we go. Well, by the grace of God means, oh, you are explaining that we are surviving by his abundant love and mercy. Really? Anyway, one day I'll come and teach what grace really is. You know why I like to ask? Because sometimes we use words whose meaning we don't know. Like, have you ever prayed? Even the way you pray, do you understand why you pray the way you pray? Have you noticed people come, Father, Lord, you're so worthy. And people have these fancy words sometimes. They're uncreated God, and it sounds so beautiful. What a beautiful prayer. But I want us to be people who actually know what they mean when they say certain things. Because in the kingdom of God, the more you understand, the more dominion you have on earth. As long as you don't understand what you're saying, no dominion, right? Okay, thank you so much, Miss Itala. I love that. Surviving by his abundant love and mercy. Perfect. Miss Caroline, it's good to have you in the meeting. To be mindful of what you allow to enter your heart and what influences you. This is perfect. So we have an understanding of what it means to guard our hearts, right? So I'm not going to define it. You guys defined it for me. Okay, so let me share my screen now. This is perfect. So those of you who didn't get to comment, you comment. I'm going to ask you another question. Yes, and don't be shy, okay? Yeah, don't be shy. Just you feel free. Yeah, feel free. Yes, yes, feel free, feel free. Yes, I think I'm going to teach about grace. I don't know. A whole series about what grace is. But let me tell you one meaning of grace while we're at it. Grace also means divine endowment. Divine endowment. I'll give an example. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. I'm paraphrasing. The Bible says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's Paul. And then he says, I labored more than you all by the grace. So when he says that I am what I am by the grace of God, he's saying that the reason why I'm doing what I'm able to do is because there's a divine endowment. There's an exchange. So I'm giving my weaknesses to God, and then I'm getting his strength. Praise the Lord. That's why when you're able to do certain things to a certain excellence, you just don't get tired doing it. It's because there's a divine endowment at work within you. Praise the Lord. That's what grace is. Okay, let me read the other comments. Miss Yvonne says, guarding your heart means intentionally aligning your life with the principles and promises of God's word. You guys are Bible scholars, man. This is beautiful. Thank you so much, Miss Yvonne. I'm glad you're here. Miss Sharon says, to be aware of what convicts your heart and work toward keeping it clean. Man, my God. Thank you so much, Miss Sharon. I'm so happy you're here. So perfect. If you guys want the definition, it's been shared in the chat. Okay, kindly confirm if you can see what's on your screen. If you can, it should read the condition of the heart of man with some little dot, 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 dot. And then down there, it says Robbie Makasa, right? Okay, perfect. We can all see. Beautiful people. Okay, so I'm skipping through. That's you guys skipping through. Thank you. Okay, so my name is Robbie Makasa. I am God's favorite child. I'm an engineer. I'm a writer. I'm an instrumentalist. And I am jovial, as you can see. I smile a lot. I show my teeth all the time, you know. I'm that guy. So anyway, let's move on. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 23. NKJV. The Bible says, my son. So look at the wording. My son. So when the Bible says my son, it's not just singling out the male. Okay, it's really talking to even you daughters. So especially in this world of, gender complications. People try to change many things, right? But it's really talking to all of us. So it says, give attention to my words. I always mention this. The biggest thing that God wants you to have, dear wonderful IBS member, is his word in your heart. The minute you can have God's word in your heart, you become a sound believer. Do you know why? Because it means that whatever you're going to do in your life, you're going to base it off the word of God that's in you. When people behave a certain way, it tells you how much of the word of God they have. Also, it exposes the lack of the word of God. So if somebody's always angry, somebody's always complaining, somebody's always agitated and frustrated. It's easy to always complain even when you're having a good life. It's very easy, especially when you begin to have an attitude of always complaining, when maybe you're going through a hard time. It can become a habit. And it's true, you might be going through something very hard, and so let's complain. Ah, complain after complain. Then you get a job. People are funny. And then the minute they get a job, this is somebody who maybe they were not even getting a 2,000 kwacha. They were jobless, so there's no income, no money coming. They get a job that's paying them 2,500. Ah, this job doesn't even pay me much. Well, it may not be much, it may not be to your qualifications, but look, there was a point you were getting zero. So the minute you start getting 2.5, what do you have to say? You say, Lord, thank you so much that I'm having this. I'm not teaching you to limit yourselves or to go for small things, no. But I'm also just trying to let you understand that life is in stages. If this is what you can have in the meantime, receive it with gratitude. And the thing with God, the minute he sees you are not thankful, he's not going to give you more because you're going to complain about the more. You get a 10,000, I just get a 10 pin. There's somebody else is getting a 20,000. And sometimes the reason why we fail to be grateful is because we compare our lives with other people. Newsflash, there'll always be somebody better than you at something. There'll always be somebody who looks prettier than you, who looks more handsome than you, who talks better than you, who's taller than you, who's slimmer than you, who's bigger than you, who's more ripped if you're trying to get a certain kind of body. There's always people more and better. This is why I always mention to people, learn to love yourself. Because as long as you do not love yourself, you're going to find it very hard to live on this earth. Because there'll always be people who seem better, doing better, who look better. Just go on Google right now and look at celebrities. This is some people want to be like certain celebrities. No, if I can just be this slim, then my life will be fine. No, your life won't be fine because you want something else when you are slim, right? So love yourself, appreciate who you are, value yourself, because if you don't learn to love yourself in the relationship that you get into, oh, whoever will date you is going to have a hard time. Nobody can love you on your behalf. I hope you know that. No one will love you on your behalf. People can love, but they can't love you on your behalf. There's a part that you have to play as well. That is to love yourself and then give yourself grace. Don't cut yourself too short. Don't see yourself as saying, no, I can't do it. I can't go for this. And sometimes when we have this, it makes us seem like we are humble. No, I can't apply for this job. And it sounds like we're humble. No, it's a very, that spirit is not okay because you miss out on very big opportunities because I don't think I can go for this because it's supposed to go for certain people with certain personalities, with certain qualifications. Ah, guys, just go for it and grab it, eh? In this life, it's just really how you see yourself. And really, that's how most of us approach this life. If you think this world can't give you anything, you'll never get anything out of it. And I'm not trying to say like the world owes you something. No, I mean like if you really think you can't get much from this world, you never get anything because, and then this is really a poverty mindset. That's how people become poor and repay and remain poor. Because they keep thinking, ah, no, me, you know, life, we're just always struggling. And let me tell you something, believers, learn to speak correct things. There was a time we taught about the power of speaking the right words. Yes, you may be going through something tough, but be careful with what you're prophesying. No, life will always be hard. And you know, when you're meeting different kinds of people, especially here in Zambia, it's the kind of conversation everybody's having. No, you see the way it is now, it'll only get harder and harder and harder. And then you, as a believer, you also go and confess the same thing. You know, life is just hard. Then why are you a believer? Why are you on earth? Is it not the Bible that says you are the salt of the earth? Is it not the Bible that says you are the light of the world? Look, as a believer, when you step in, you've come with the solution. So why are you speaking like a non-believer? No, it's also hard. You know, these things we'll try again next year. What are you trying next year? No, believer, you don't speak like that. No, you do not speak because people are looking at you for the solution. If you are the light, it means you are the solution. Literally, everybody can see. That's how come the Bible says there is no person that hides the light. It says, the Bible says, so let your light shine. Yo, let your light shine forth. God is encouraging you right now. Praise the Lord. So don't look at yourself as some small little ordinary person. Right now, I want you to speak to yourself. Repeat after me. Or learning how to speak tonight. Praise the Lord. So I want you to repeat after me. Just say, I believe in myself. And I want all of us to participate because some of us don't do these things. We're doing affirmations, self-affirmation. Praise the Lord. Number one, I believe in myself. I am worth it. I am valuable. I add value to things. I am lovable and I love. And the last one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. I just thought I should share this before I continue with my teaching. Amen. Have the confidence of a believer. When you read the word of God, you're meant to speak a certain way. So anyway, going back to the topic, my son, give attention to my words. It says, incline your ears to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, I love it. It says, for they are life to those who find them. My goodness, the word of God is life to those who find. Read the Bible slowly. The word of God is life to those who find. So this means the same word of God may not give you life. Because how come people experience different things from the same word? Why? Because there are people who are not looking for the word. So the Bible says, for they are life to those who find them. And the only way you can find this life is if you give attention to the word of God. The same scripture is giving life to one believer. Give another believer, it's not giving anything. It's giving it's giving Zambia. I'm gonna use my own country so that I don't sound negative. So it's giving Zambia, it's not giving light, isn't it? Oh, Lord Jesus. So the Bible says, for their life to those who find them. And then it says, and health to all their flesh. So sometimes you can know where you've been. You can know where you've been and what's going on because of the lack of the word in you. You can always tell when the word of God is not in you at a certain moment. You can tell. You become more anxious. You start panicking more, you become more fearful, you become more you become more doubtful. There's no clarity in your life anymore because the word of God is lacking. And let me tell you something. The word of God is your life. It's not like I read the word of God in the morning, so I'm okay. How many of you have, like, look, how many of you have ever really survived on, like, it's enough for you to eat just once? And look, I'm not talking about those things where you just have to survive, so you're eating once. No, no, no. Like, comfortably, you have to just eat once and you're okay. Really, normally we eat more than once. Like, normally, the normal thing should be eating more than once. But you've eaten once and you're just fine. You have the same energy levels. No, it's never really okay. But you find us believers, we are okay eating 4 or 5 meals in a day, and we've interacted with God once. And somehow that 5 minutes in the Word of God should help us deal with all the anxiety that's within us. 5 minutes somehow. No, it doesn't work like that. You need to give. That's why the Bible says, give attention to my words. Give attention. So God wants your attention. The minute you can give God your time, you've given him everything. He doesn't want your money. Really, can you feed God? He doesn't want your resources. Because God even says, if I was hungry, I can't tell you. Because what can you feed God? Yeah, do you see what I mean? So God wants your time. It says, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Yo, out of it spring the issues of life. Praise the Lord. The issues of life are in your heart. So we define what it means to God. The Hebrew word used for God is natsar. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not Hebrew, obviously. I'm an African guy from one of the African countries. It means to protect. That's number one. And many of us mention things like that. It means to maintain. Number two. Number three, it means to keep. Number four, it means to preserve. Praise the Lord. To preserve. So God is saying, keep your heart. If you can keep your heart, you can prevent yourself from heartbreaks next year. Is it too soon? If you can keep your heart, you can prevent yourself from dealing with having wrong business deals next year. Because your heart, why is it that all the time with the relationship, there's like you're always the victim? How come? And hey, guys, we shouldn't be victims. No, no, no. Victim mentality does not help anybody. No, boys keep doing this. And you know, sometimes it sounds like, I don't know, it sounds somehow when people become victims, it sounds, and people like victims. Because on social media everywhere, they celebrate victims. I don't know if you notice, they don't celebrate victors. People who are doing well and doing the right, they're not celebrated, but victims, oh, we celebrate them. We love victims. That's why a lot of us like to be victims. Maybe because we want attention. So if I become a victim, then everybody's now attentive to my pains, my problems, why men keep leaving me. Not a good thing. We need to know why, how come? It's a pattern, how come? Don't be a victim. No, they hurt me. There's just hurt in their heart. That's why the Bible is saying, keep your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. So work hard. Diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. Why are we always victims in all stories? Why the victim? No, he hurt me. She did this to me. There's victims. In the story. You're never a victor. No. No, guys. Praise the Lord. So why are you protecting your heart? Good question, eh? Number one, because Satan is interested in our hearts. The heart is an asset. Biggest commodity. If you ask me, it's an asset. So that's why God is saying, protect your, because there's so many people who want to invest in that heart, including God. But Satan is interested in our hearts. That's why we should guard our hearts. The Bible says in John 13, verse 12, in the Amplified Classic, it says, so it was during supper. Satan, look at this word. Satan, having already put the thought, this means that not all thoughts come from God. That's why you have to be careful with the kinds of thoughts you're having. Somehow, somebody should decide to go and kill themselves. It's not a thought from God. Suicidal thoughts, it's not from God. I want to teach you how to deal with these things. The thoughts of you're just gloomy and you're now about to get depressed. It's never from God. No, it's never. I promise you. It's never from God. Because how can it be from God when he wants you to have a life of peace? And then at the same time, he wants us to be depressed. No, I refuse that. And sometimes believers are not careful because they say certain things. No, it's God who did this. And then I'm like, what? God made somebody sick? Really? God made somebody get depressed? Really? Is that the God that we've been exposed to? Read the Bible for yourself. I don't know that kind of God. I've never met that kind of God before. Here it says, Satan having already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot. When you read it from the book of Luke, the Bible says Satan entered the heart of Judas. Now, here's something that we don't think about. Do you know that Judas was chosen by Jesus? Because the Bible says he chose these disciples who we also named apostles. If you read from Luke 6, it says he made them apostles. So meaning after, and then here's the thing, this is after Jesus came from prayer, so he chose Judas. So is it, could it be that Jesus made a mistake? No, Jesus never made a mistake. It's Judas who was not careful to guard his heart. Jesus never makes mistakes. That's why even us, when God calls us, he doesn't make a mistake. But it's us to now walk worthy of that calling. That's why the Bible says, walk worthy of your calling in Ephesians 4 verse 1. Walk worthy of your calling, because there's a calling that each of us has. But you have to walk worthy of it. God didn't make a mistake. So sometimes you find that maybe you've heard stories of a believer who used to be so, he loved the Lord so much, so active. And then maybe a sin happened or something went down and then they're not as active. So now you start thinking, is it God? No, it's not God. There is a certain aspect about that Christianity that was left open. This is why I keep mentioning that don't be a Christian who wants to do Christianity alone. It was never designed for you to do life alone. I mention this a lot. And I also love to mention that in IBS, if you really participate in IBS the way you should, you will get the best out of it. But in the same group, you might not get as much as others are getting, because maybe we don't want to participate. Maybe we don't want to, because there are times when people, and I know maybe some of us come from backgrounds where people don't check up on you. People don't care for you. So you feel like when people want to care for you, you feel like they're being fake, because all you're used to is fakeness. Sometimes the reason why we don't experience good things is because there are so many negative things that have happened to us. So it's blocking out every good. So when somebody wants to do something good for you, there's this block in your heart that has been keeping negativity. So no good thing can happen to you. You don't believe because people keep betraying you. So now when somebody comes, this is how come people are single every year. Because they endured heartbreaks. A good guy comes, he can't reach because there's a block here. No, you don't know how much I've been hurt. Just heal and then love again. Right? Take the necessary steps you need to take. Don't always keep being a victim. You don't know what they did to me. Don't do, because you'll be a victim for 20 years, for 10 years. Things that happened in your 20s, and now, and you see, people carry burdens that are not meant to carry. If you start talking to some of our uncles and they start telling you something that happened in 1980 something, and you're there like, what? How have you been keeping these things since the 80s, man? Like how are you keeping both? So be careful, guard your heart. So here in IBS, somebody wants to check in. How are you doing? Maybe you are receiving it as really, are they genuine? Maybe they just want something from me. And somebody has taken out time. Time is very precious. Somebody has taken out time to come and check in on you, to call you, to want to know how you're doing. You see, so it all comes from these things. Things we keep in our hearts that we refuse to deal with, that we keep avoiding. It happens in the church. So sometimes people leave the church. Oh, church people hurt me, so I don't trust anybody who comes from the church. I don't trust pastors. So for some of us who are doing this work, when we check in on somebody, these pastors are fake. These pastors, no, they just come in like this. And then we are being, there's a certain picture people have of us. And so now we're not trying to do our work. It's like, he's fake. He has ulterior motives. No, we don't do Christianity like that. And if we are like that, it means there's so many things that need to be worked on in our hearts, despite the challenges we've all, because we all have had challenges before. One of the things that made me quickly grow in my Christianity is really, really being in the church. Praise the Lord. Yeah. This is why the Israelites, do you know that the journey that they took to get to where they were going could have taken days, but it took them years. Why? Even though God had taken them out of Egypt. Egypt was still in them. God has taken you out of certain things, but those things have refused. You are still allowing them to be in you. God has healed your heart, but you want to unheal it, if there's such a thing. Because that's what happened to Israelites. God takes them out of Egypt, but the Egyptians are still in their minds, so they can't leave. That's how come, if you read the Bible properly, you notice that they kept making reference to Egypt. No, when we're in Egypt, we used to eat meat, we used to eat these kinds of things, but you're not in Egypt. No, when I used to be with this guy, I used to do that. You're not with that guy. There's somebody else who's come. So why should this new guy suffer because of this other person? Then why are you dating somebody new? No, we have to move. So God was not happy with that. He said, you've stayed on this wilderness, you've stayed on this mountain for too long. Move on. Move on. You have to move, please. We can't keep staying on the same thing. So Satan is interested in our hearts. And if we keep on thinking, keep on talking about, oh, he left me, she did this. No, the church. No, this person. No, my father, my mother, my sister, my this, my. So it's all human relation. In the end, there will be no one in your life. That's such a sad life to have no one in your life. It's very sad, very lonely. I guarantee it. Do you know when God saw Adam? Adam was a man who was perfect, for lack of a better term, before sin came. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He knew his assignment. He knew everything there was to know about what God wanted him to, because he was busy in the garden. He's naming cockroaches, naming mosquitoes. All these unnecessary animals, he's naming them. So he has an assignment. And then God says, it's not good for this man to be alone. God is the one who saw that for man, and he's not talking about marriage or relationships. Generally, when God looked at us, he saw that we cannot function alone. This is why when the pandemic happened, many of us struggled, because for the first time, you could not be with people. And the reason why you're panicking is because you were not with other people. I'm telling you now, it's because you were not in touch with the people you wanted to see. They gave you restrictions. No, you can't go here. You can't go to this place until this. You have to go back home. You want to see your bestie, but you can't because there's a pandemic. So we lost human touch, and that's what the world is still healing from. People are important, so value humans. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Guard your heart. Satan is interested in it. So those thoughts that come sometimes, try to analyze it. Where is this coming from? Why am I thinking like this all of a sudden? How come my attitude towards IBS has changed all of a sudden? My attitude towards Robbie has changed because he said I should move on. And I just want to mention for free, the minute you are angry with pastors or people who teach you the word of God, you will never receive from them. You might as well just stop going to church. Really, you might as well just stop going to church, because these are people who you'll be interacting with every week. And then look, here we don't baby people. Oh my God, we will never baby anyone. No, because we can't grow like that. Praise the Lord. Milk is for babies, but strong meat, the Bible says, it's given to the mature. So if you want to grow, there's meat you need to chew on the meat. And you see, when you're chewing on the meat, it's not always the easiest thing, especially when you're growing, because your teeth are developing, but you can't really chew. But it's milk, it easily just goes in, everything just goes, and it's nice. Oh, the milk is coming. This is not milk. This is meat. Praise the Lord. Number two, in order to guard against our own selves. So number one, Satan. Number two, even you need to guard against yourself. Self has come. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 18 to 20. But what comes out of your mouth reveals the core of your heart. Oh, Lord. So when you insulted that brother, it's not that the brother offended you. The brother just gave an opportunity for your heart to be revealed. Oh, man, I'm speaking deep stuff tonight. Oh, the brother just created an opportunity for the insult to come out, which was already there. So it's not really that he's really offended you like that. No, the insults were already there. They were looking for an opportunity to come out. So opportunity has come. So now there's room for expression. Because how come insults are coming out? Somebody is offended and you should insult them. No, believer, no. Yes, we have hard times, but not you. You can confront them, nothing wrong with that, but not insults. No. Not a believer. It says words can pollute, not food. You will find living within an impure heart evil ideas, murderous thoughts, adultery, sexual immorality. So when a guy, today is a Friday, unfortunately, in some boarding houses, there are things happening. And a guy had been meditating before going to do whatever he wants to do. Oh, it's Friday night. So conveniently, he's decided to visit on a Friday night. Conveniently. It's so convenient. Sisters who are in universities, please, I'm teaching you life hacks. No. Why is it coming? No. Why does he just keep coming at night? What does he want? Is he a thief? Why can't he come during the day? Why can't he come in the day? Thieves come at night. He's coming to steal your virginity, to steal something valuable. You see, somebody's valuable something has been stolen tonight because a thief has come. We are speaking tonight. So be careful these things. And you see, when somebody comes to steal, that dignity is gone. Now all they're left with is shame and sometimes a baby. A whole man has left their sister with a baby. That's all they can leave them, a whole baby. Like that's all the man can do. And look, having children, it's not, you don't need to be a genius. Yeah, like it doesn't take any genius mind to produce a child. No. It doesn't. Really, bulls do that. And a bull is even better because at least we can kill it and eat it. Now, this man comes, leaves a baby in some sister and then runs away. And then what do we do now? So bulls are better. At least we can kill the bull and eat it. Mm-hmm. So the Bible now says theft, lies, and slander. I said it. Yes, I said it. Because it's not good. A whole gentleman goes to leave a sister pregnant. I don't like that. And if it was happening and I knew somebody and they came to tell me that this is what's going on. Oh, I won't take it very nicely. How, why would you, gentlemen, when God created us, he made us responsible for the sisters. So when a sister comes into our lives, they're supposed to live better, cultivated. When we had that meeting with men, this is what we talked about. We're meant to make everything else beautiful. Not somebody's leaving with, now they don't know who they are. They've been eroded of their identity and self-worth because they met a guy? No, that's not what it means to be a gentleman. That's not how Jesus loves us. When we come in the presence of Jesus, our fears are they are swallowed up. So the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Do you understand the responsibility we have as gentlemen? It says, as Christ loves the church. So how are we meant to treat sisters? Go and look at how Jesus treats the church and treats us. Then we understand what it means to be a man. Not a man leaving babies with women and not being responsible for that. No, that's not good. I don't like that. So give me a podcast one day to talk about these issues. Oh, I will talk. Praise the Lord. It says that's what pollutes a person. Eating with unwashed hands doesn't defile anyone. So what is the Bible saying here? The Bible is saying that the reason why sometimes people do things is because it's really just them. There's some little sexual immorality that's in there that people join the meeting for the first time. Oh, we apologize. We're a bit raw in idea. Sorry, sorry. Tomorrow will be better. We'll be better tomorrow. Don't worry. We'll be better. You chose the right day to come. Tomorrow will be softer and nicer. Don't worry. I'm not feeling attacked. It's convictions. Convictions. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're helping you become a better believer. Praise the Lord. Because believers don't fornicate, don't sleep around. Amen. And then, if we've been there before, if you've given your life to Christ, look, you don't have to think about it. Oh, I used to. It doesn't matter. The Bible says in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Praise the Lord. But we shouldn't do that. Amen. Read your Bible for yourself. This same scripture says no adultery, no sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is a lot of things. So, not watching pornography. That's sexual immorality. It's immoral things. No doing all sorts of other sexual activities that are not sex. Because some people feel like, as long as I'm not having sex with somebody, so it's okay. So they draw a line. No, it's not okay. It is not fine. It is not okay because humans are progressive. How come those of you who have master's degrees, how come you got a master's degree? You were not okay with the degree, the bachelor's, so you wanted to go up, and so you got the master's. So it starts with it's a little kiss, and we just kiss here and there. Oh, one day they'll shock you because humans are progressive. They'll shock you one day, and anyway. Not in IBS, praise the Lord. They will never shock you because you've never been in such situations until you are married. In Jesus' name, I bless you with marriage. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's move on, guys. You guys, please behave yourselves, okay? We have visitors in the house. There are new people here. So, the Bible says Deuteronomy 11, verse 6 NLT, but be careful, don't let your hearts be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. So we'll be done very soon. After this, I'll be telling you how to practical ways to guard your heart. So the Bible says Deuteronomy 11, verse 6, verse 16. But be careful, don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. Other gods can be, sex, it can be money, it can be power, it can be status. Like you just want to be powerful. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being powerful. It's just something wrong if it's for like wrong motives. Nothing wrong with money. And then also, there's nothing wrong with sex, really. It just depends on what. At the stage you're at, like people made you believe that it's bad, right? That's why you feel weird. Even no, it's not bad. And it's not for big people. Like they lie to you. No, it's not. It's for people who are married. So if you're 40 and not married, I'm fortunate you cannot participate according to the Bible. So it's not, no, when I'm grown, because this is what society teaches, not when you are a consenting adult, another consenting adult. No, you can be two consenting adults. It's not okay unless you're married. Praise the Lord. So it's boundaries, and boundaries are healthy. So the Word of God has set boundaries, and he's saying, look, this is, if you want to do what you want to do, please go ahead. Just marry. That's all. And then you can do whatever you want, but in the context of marriage. Praise the Lord. And then next year, look, don't be uncomfortable. Next year, I literally have a topic on sexuality. If you don't know, we're going to teach on sexuality for the whole month. So just be, get used to it. We'll be talking about certain things. We'll be discussing certain things. So get used to it. Next year, I designed a topic on sexuality alone because I want us to learn what the Bible actually says. And then the more we teach on it, the more we are going to, stop having some of these experiences people have. Every year, somebody should fornicate. Why? Ah, guys, is it a ritual? Every year it should happen. No, it can't be a tradition. Somehow it should go down like that. No. Amen. Yeah, so don't be deceived. Quickly, let's move on. A good heart versus a bad heart. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, the Bible says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature. Sinful nature, that's the flesh. The results are very clear. Look at what the results are. Sexual immorality. Hey, tonight there's a lot of stuff, eh? I'm just looking at this like, wow, I prepared this stuff, but it's shocking me as well. Anyway, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling. But it just shows you what the Bible says about these things, right? So it's good that you know. Outbursts of anger, jealousy, ambition, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, wild parties. Good December, wild parties, wild parties. Stay home. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again. I'm having so much fun. As I have said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at what the Bible says, and it's so strong. So this Christianity of I can do anything as long as I ask God for forgiveness, that's not what the Bible says. It says, imagine going, not inheriting the kingdom of God because of a desire, because somebody can't contain themselves. Until I have it, until I do, I must do, I must do, I must go out tonight. I just have to. And then somebody loses their place in the kingdom of God. One little activity that's less than. Anyway, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, division. Imagine not going to heaven because somebody's just envious and jealous. Guys, no, not going to heaven because of one night. That's not really. You guys don't want me to say something. I won't say, but it's not necessary. Do you see what I mean? It's too costly. Imagine trading the kingdom of God for minutes. No. All these things can make somebody miss heaven just because I have a desire. I feel like just satisfying this craving. I have to. That's why fasting is good. So when you mention, tell people to fast, oh no, the thing is, you need the fasting. Praise the Lord. You need it. So that's a bad heart, right? Now let's look at the good heart. The Bible says Galatians 5 is 22 to 24 NLT. But the Holy Spirit, by the way, these are not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. These are fruits of your human spirit. If it was the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we would all be able to produce them at the same level. But you've noticed that people love differently. People have a different kind of joy. People have a different kinds of patience. Why? Because it's the fruit of your human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. If it were the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all of us would be manifesting these things at the same level. So it's the Holy Spirit trying, because the Holy Spirit is already the spirit of love. So he's not trying to produce love. He is love. He's not trying to be jovial. He is jovial. He's not trying to be peaceful. He is the peace that we need. Praise the Lord. Just I wanted you to understand the difference. So the Bible says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. You notice the word? Not that it's him that's like for him. No, he helps you produce in your life. And then it says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. This will help you in December. Self-control. If people want you to go, I just say, no, I want to stay with my family. You feel me? So that's controlling yourself. What's self-control? Controlling yourself. That's all. Praise the Lord. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ. Look at what the Bible says. Those who belong to Christ. Why do you guys keep saying stay home? Is there a pandemic? It says those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross. Look at what the Bible says about you. It says, if you are in Christ Jesus, you've dealt with those passions. So it's you to deal with them. Amen. What are these things that help you as a believer? There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Praise the Lord. Quickly, the last point for tonight. Three ways of guarding your hearts. Number one, choose what you pay attention to. Mark 4, verse 24, Passion Translation. It says, then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. So this scripture is saying that if you give yourself to gossip, gossip will be produced and more of it. You give yourself to envy will be produced and more of it. Whatever you pay attention to, that's what you're going to reproduce. Amen. We have to be careful what we, you know, focus on. Genesis 3 verse 47, the Bible says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of your, you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Okay, we know the scripture, right? The reason why Adam and Eve sinned is because they paid attention to the wrong thing. And you know what happened? Now they could experience shame. Do you know that Adam and Eve for the first time experienced shame and guilt? Do you know what? We are never meant to experience those things. But the minute you experience that, it means that something has happened in your relationship with God. This is why if we've done something wrong to somebody, you can know yourself. But sometimes people pretend like they don't know they've wronged someone. Like somebody has to tell us that, oh, you're wrong. No, usually we know. If you're a believer, you can know. Now, what I said was not good. Yes, I was angry. No, I was angry. No, we can't always keep saying it's because I was angry. That's not growing. It's not maturity. It's showing that we are childish. Yeah, because it's showing we are not growing. Every time, no, I was angry. I was angry. I was angry. I was angry. And you keep hurting your friend and hurting and hurting and hurting them to the point where now in that relationship, they can't take any more pain. You've come to the place where there's an overdraft. You know where you can't withdraw any money from a bank because there isn't enough. You've not deposited money. Relationships come to that place sometime. Because when you're hurting, you're withdrawing. When you keep hurting somebody, you're withdrawing. The more you hurt, you withdraw. When you love, you're depositing. When you encourage, you're depositing. When you pray for them, you're depositing. But now there's a withdrawal and withdrawal. Now there's a place where they can't withdraw anymore. And the person decides, you know what? I can't be in this relationship anymore because you keep hurting me. Amen. So we have to be mature enough to notice that, okay, I was wrong. Let me go and apologize. And we can't just say, sorry. You know, those kind of stories that are so not meaningful. No, sorry. It's just that, you know, people sometimes they apologize and then they justify the wrong thing. No, it's sorry, just that you talk a lot. That's not an apology. Like it's really not an apology. Yeah. This is how to apologize. Hi, I realized that what I said was wrong. I didn't mean to hurt you. I could have said things better. Please forgive me. That's how to apologize, not to say sorry. And then what? What should I do with yours? I should eat the sorry. You have to mention, what are you sorry for? Because what if it's many things you've been doing? So we need to know what's the specific thing that we are apologizing for today, sir, madam. Amen. Number two, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. So the Bible says in the book of Luke, Jesus says, Simon, listen to me. Satan has demanded the right to test each one of you. Okay. And when you have come back, help others. So pray for yourself. Yeah, pray for yourself. Take time to pray for your heart. Lord, the things, how come I keep responding to life a certain way? How come I keep responding to people a certain way? So pray for yourself. Take time. This is why I keep mentioning that sometimes our prayer lives are really just about material things, if we think about it. But how many times have you really taken the time to pray about your moods, your temperaments, the issues that just somehow you just snap? How many of us take time to pray about such things? The emotional things that we're dealing with, or the reason why we are behaving is, how many of us really take time to pray that, Lord, I can't keep harming people this way. Please help me. And you're making prayer. You know what you're doing? You're making a deposit in the spirit. And when you do that, you can easily mature and grow. Why? Because you believe that the prayer can help you. Okay. And the last one is, study the word and meditate upon it. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 16, let Christ's message always be in your thoughts with all the good things that it brings. Use that message to teach and to warn each other. Amen. So have the word of God in you. Yes. Have the word of God. The word of God is a weapon. That's why the Bible says, taking the shield, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Even when you pray, you use the word of God to pray. That's why I always advise, know some scriptures when you're praying. You know, why are you praying for God to give you money? And there's no scripture you know about prosperity or finances. And it's easy these days. Just go on Google. You know what I mean? Like, don't stress yourself out. Just go on Google scriptures about finances and then add it in your prayer. Do you see what I mean? Yeah, add it to your prayer. Lord, the Bible, this is how you pray about finances. Lord, the Bible says in 3 John 2 that, beloved, you desire that I prosper in all things. So you've quoted the scripture to God, and then you say, Lord, your scripture says that you desire, you want me to prosper. So in the name of Jesus, I have the finances I need. The Bible says, according to scripture, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that you want me to be sufficient in all things. So, Lord, your word says this. That's how you pray. You're reminding the Lord, Lord, you said in the word. So have the word of God, because that's how you pray effectively. You are not going to win the battle if you don't know the word of God. Do you notice that when Jesus was fighting Satan, he didn't try to use deep words? No. I don't know. I don't know. People try to use deep stuff as believers. No, my prayers are prayers of a bazooka. Okay, but it's not necessary. In the kingdom of God, like, those words carry no meaning. They have no power at all. Jesus Christ was using the scriptures. No, I'm a prayer warrior. It's really not in the Bible being a prayer warrior. It's things that we've just coined. You see, being a prayer, it just means pray. No, I'm a prayer warrior from this heaven. Not necessary. Just use the scriptures. Do you see what I mean? So Jesus used the scriptures and he won. So we also ought to know the word of God. Know the word of God for yourself. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we've come to the end of the meeting. Did you guys have fun tonight? I had a good time. Was it good for you guys as well? Did you have a good? I had a good time, people of God. Eh? Last week, people didn't review for some reason. Guys, I want us to review. Okay. And especially now that we are not going to be having Zoom for a few weeks, reviews are the only way we know that we actually had Bible study. So let them not go down. It doesn't have to be a long thing. Just write what you learned. Even if you say stay at home, it will be a review. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you guys were here tonight. Thank you so much for being here. Let me just pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody listening to this voice, everybody in this meeting. Lord, they are preserved in the name of Jesus. Their December is preserved in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, oh God. We bless you and we thank you, Father Lord. I pray, Almighty God, that Lord, their lives are divinely protected and preserved in all that they do. In Jesus' name. Father Lord, they make the right choices. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God, we pray. Amen and amen and amen.